The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, May 25th, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 52nd episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a broadcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, the Holland Sentinel ran a story on the Grand Haven-based Pigeon Creek Shakespeare Company, bringing the Comedy of Errors and Hamlet to the Rose Playhouse, a recreation of the outdoor Elizabethan playhouse at Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp in Twin Lake, Michigan. NorthJersey.com ran a story on the launch of Montclair Shakespeare series with Twelfth Night. These monthly script-in-hand readings by actors will start on Wednesday, May 20th at 8 p.m. at the Montclair Women's Club. Broadway World posted a video by Jonathan Groff on how to best score tickets for the Public Theater's Shakespeare in the Park in New York City. Time was one of the many publications that covered the discovery of a new image of Shakespeare as presented in the London weekly magazine Country Life, which found it in a 1598 book, The Herbal or General History of Plants by John Gerard. The Guardian ran an op-ed on the discovery, saying that the conclusion reached is based on speculation rather than evidence, and that the complex strings of argument are massive acts of overinterpretation. The Bangkok Post ran a story on the arrival of the world touring company of Shakespeare's Globe's Hamlet production, now reaching Thailand as its 99th visited country. Three News in New Zealand covered the 86-hour, four-day marathon reading of Shakespeare's plays by Dunedin Fortune Theatre. The Post and Courier ran a story on the only U.S. run of Shakespeare's Globe's touring production of Romeo and Juliet, running at the Spoleto Festival USA in Charleston, South Carolina through June 7th. The tour is a scaled-down one, with only 8 actors and 3 support staff. The Telegraph ran a story on Michael Fassbender, whose turn as Macbeth is winning raves at the Cannes Film Festival, but more on that later. The San Francisco Gate ran a story on the many Shakespeare plays coming to the San Francisco, California area. KBZK in Bozeman, Montana ran a story on Montana Shakespeare in the Parks to perform The Taming of the Shrew and Cyrano de Bergerac during its 2015 summer tour. Broadway World previewed the upcoming Shakespeare pub crawls by New York Shakespeare Exchange in New York City on June 6th and 13th. The Edmonton Journal previewed the upcoming production of Much Ado About Nothing by Thou Art Here, an alternative Shakespeare company known for its guerrilla theater-like shows, this one taking place in the Rutherford House in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. News OK previewed the upcoming season of Oklahoma Shakespeare in the Park, which includes The Winter's Tale and Julius Caesar, at the Myriad Botanical Gardens water stage in Oklahoma City. The Independent reviewed Druid Shakespeare by Druid Theatre Company, their epic Henriad production, calling it a huge achievement that gives the lines fresh meaning and relevance. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reviewed Antony and Cleopatra by St. Louis Shakespeare, running through mid-June in Shakespeare Glen at Forest Park in St. Louis, Missouri, saying that it creates dramatic tension that arcs through the play like an electrical current. Variety reviewed the Cannes Film Festival debut of Macbeth, directed by Justin Kurzel and starring Michael Fassbender and Marion Cotillard. Its rave makes me want to see this film right this moment, not have to wait until fall's slate of prestige releases. The Hollywood Reporter also reviewed it glowingly, saying that both lead performances are award-worthy. What Culture also reviewed it too, calling it, with just a hint of hyperbole, the best Shakespeare film of the millennium. And finally, we had an absolute slew of reviews of the new production of As You Like It by Shakespeare's Globe. The Telegraph gave it 4 out of 5 stars, saying that it doesn't parade its cleverness, but reveals it slowly. The Sage gave it 4 out of 5 stars and said that this production at the Globe is a deft take on Shakespeare's comedy. The Daily Mail gave it 4 out of 5 stars and called it a cheerfully funny production, despite its 3-hour length. The Independent reviewed it as well, giving it 3 out of 5 stars, and saying that Michelle Terry sparkled as a giddy Rosalind, but that the rest of the production was uneven. What's on Stage reviewed it, giving it 4 out of 5 stars, calling it a joyous revival. The Evening Standard reviewed it as well, but not as positively, calling it oddly disjointed with no heft. The Financial Times also reviewed it, giving it 3 out of 5 stars, praising Michelle Terry, but saying that the show fails to gel. The Londonist also reviewed it, giving it 4 out of 5 stars and calling it a trashy crowd pleaser. This production runs in London until September. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On May 19, 1603, Shakespeare's theater company, the Lord Chamberlain's Men, became the King's Men by royal patent. Also on that day, in 1536, Anne Boleyn was executed for trumped-up charges of incest, adultery, and treason, allowing Henry VIII to become engaged to Jane Seymour the next day and to marry her just 10 days after that. On May 20, 1609, Shakespeare's sonnets, in book form, were entered into the Stationer's Register by publisher Thomas Thorpe. On May 21, 1471, Henry VI died while imprisoned in the Tower of London. Also in this state in 1420, his father, Henry V, signed the Treaty of Troyes, which followed his victory at Agincourt. This treaty not only arranged for the marriage of Henry to Catherine, as seen in Henry V, but also named Henry and his heirs King of France, after the French king died. On May 22, 1907, Laurence Olivier was born. Widely considered to be the greatest actor, Shakespearean or otherwise, of the mid to late 20th century, he was also a director of Shakespeare-based films, including Henry V, Hamlet, and Othello. On May 23, 1430, Joan of Arc was captured by forces allied with the English. If they turned her over to the English, she would be tried for heresy and executed by burning at the stake. This was depicted in the first part of Henry VI. On May 24, 1153, Malcolm IV began his reign as King of Scotland. Malcolm was the great-grandson of his namesake, Malcolm III of Scotland. And if that name sounds familiar, he's the Malcolm from Macbeth, the son of Duncan, who was crowned at the end of that play. On May 25, 1939, Ian McKellen was born. Though now known more for Magneto in X-Men and Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings films, he's also one of the greatest Shakespearean actors of our time. His Macbeth from 1976, directed by Trevor Nunn and co-starring Judi Dench as Lady Macbeth, is regarded as one of the greatest performances of that role. I had the pleasure of seeing his one-man show, Acting Shakespeare, back in the early 80s in Los Angeles, and it is one of my favorite nights of theater. And that was Eureka Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending May 25th, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.